Can I have your attention? These beaches are officially closing for today. That means absolutely no more swimming.
Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Michael Catchmar. Welcome to Lifeguards Off Duty with Dr. Michael Catchmar. Today's date is December the 9th.
Keep going.
Today's date is December 19th, 2023, the year of the Lord, AD. And I'm here with Tyler. And this is one of our pre-Christmas shows. Tyler, say hello, Tyler.
What up?
And I tried to get a hold of our other padre here, Sean. He's not. He didn't come around. But we do have a guest. We do have somebody filling in for Sean. And here he is right here. I don't know if he's blurry or not. I don't know why the camera's. It's got to focus in there. But that's our. Maybe we get a better shot here. There's Santa Claus. Sitting.
He's mic'd up.
He's mic'd up. And there he is. There he looks good. So that's our Santa. If for people on the podcast, we have a Santa Claus with a life ring and shorts and a volley and a ball and a kind of Hawaiian shirt. So he looks pretty good.
That's our gag today. That's today's gag.
That's our thing. So we have.
I still think we should have put the mic closer to his face.
Yeah, well, you won't be able to see everything.
In case he has something important to say, you know.
So we have some. I was on the boardwalk today, and the ocean these past couple of days in New Jersey was epic. Some people say it's the biggest ocean we've seen. Some people said between 15 and 20 foot. I don't know. I was there today. They were probably closer to 9 to 10 foot.
You didn't go up to the beach at all yesterday?
No, it was a shitty day, and I worked.
Did some sprints in front of South End yesterday.
And they were pretty big.
So I was going to go for a long run. And then I got up to the boardwalk, and I just wasn't feeling it. And I, you know, knew that the storm. This was like after yesterday, after it had stopped raining, and the wind, it started blowing west hard.
Yeah, it was hard.
And it just cleaned right up. So I just went out onto the beach in front of South End and was doing sprints. And then I just sat there for like 20 minutes, just watching. I've never seen waves that big break on that beach.
Was there anything out? Was there anything in the ocean? Any kind of storm out there? I mean, they had to generate these big swells. Usually, it's a hurricane. I didn't look at the offshore weather, but it must have been some big storm out there.
It must have been.
Maybe it was a small hurricane. Today they were still epic. We'll show it in a little bit. I think the big thing I was thinking about, we were talking about, is that our whole summer was brutal. We had a lot of ocean, a lot of rescues, but we had a lot of work because we had a lot of big ocean. And it started in Memorial Weekend and it all went to Labor Day. I mean, we had record crowds. It seems like the ocean and has not stopped. I've been walking the boardwalk and running the boardwalk, walking it. We've been walking it because of my shoulder. And it has not stopped. It's just crazy. So I think it's, you know, maybe it's a trend. So what do you want to start with? You want to start some scenes, or what do you want to talk about?
Yeah, you went up and caught some videos today.
Yeah. So I had a walk because I have a plate in my shoulder which is coming out Thursday, by the way. So we took some.
Your body's breaking down a little bit on you.
No.
You feel like you have to start taking it because.
Taking it easy?
Well,
I've been taking it easy.
Since I've known you for 10 years, and you've never, like, slowed down. You know, you seem like you're the guy that, since you were a young guy, you've never slowed down. But
no,
an injury like that, like, what does that do to your mindset going into next summer or just trying to get back into training in general?
It actually gives me an incentive, you know. I got to get the left shoulder operated on. And then the end of January, I'm going to get my right shoulder operated on and get my rotator cuff done. This on the left, kind of delayed everything. I wasn't going to have the left operated on right now. I mean, when I fractured the collarbone, it was so displaced, they had to put a plate in there. So and the plate has to come out between 3 and 6 months. So it's a little over 3 months now. So, and I was sick a couple of weeks ago when it was supposed to come out. I had a cold. So now I'm okay. So it's going to come out. But then you got to rehab that, you know, need a couple of weeks you know, for that to heal up, maybe three, you know, so about 4 weeks. So it gets, it comes out the 21st, and then the schedule for the right shoulder, I think, is like the 30th of January.
Has this been the most, like, the worst injury you've ever dealt with?
Yeah, but I, you know, I mean, I have my, I have chronic rotator cuff. I have herniated disc, L2, L, you know, T5. None of that bothers me, though. You know, I've had sprains. I've had, you know, hurt my hand. Yeah, I mean, just lifeguarding, you know. I've had.
I haven't shown you this yet. I jacked my finger up playing soccer.
Oh, yeah, I can see it. This? All, yeah, it's all swollen. You probably broke it. Yeah, it looks pretty bad.
Like that, look
yeah,
how
it doesn't look normal. Yeah, you broke. You did something. You sprained it pretty bad.
I mean, but, that's, yeah, like, I can't even. Yeah, yeah.
I tell you.
Do you think I should
get go an get X-ray. This? Yeah.
What, like,
this has been, like, a splint.
This has been 2 months, though.
Oh, well, that's too late now. Yeah, so, you broke it. Yeah.
So what's the plan? Like, is just, it just let it go. Stuck like that now?
No, it'll probably come around. Yeah, but it's probably it takes a while for it to heal.
So you think it's broken? Yeah, just one look.
Yeah, if it's
you don't think I tore like a ligament or anything.
Yeah, it should have healed by now.
I mean, dude,
we'll get an X-ray. I'll order an X-ray for you.
I got it caught up in someone's shirt, and I just felt it like,
eesh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a good sprain, but I would get an X-ray. The
that's what my girlfriend keeps telling me.
You know, getting with what one of the reasons why I think I got hurt, for a lot of different reasons, but I didn't lift all summer long, and I didn't lift a lot in the winter because of my rotator cuff. In fact, you know, January last year is when everything started to hurt me really bad with the rotator cuff. I was doing a lot of lifting, and I blew out my right shoulder. I was doing 50 pounds, you know, 250 pounds, and you know, swimming.
See,
and
ever since I had my shoulder surgery, and even before then, just when I was younger, you know, I did my shoulder. I was like 22.
Yeah.
But even when I would do, like, bench press, like, my shoulders would, like, hurt. I feel like it's such an – people put their shoulders in such unnatural positions, and when you're lifting really heavy weights like that, it just can't be good.
But the thing is, I've lifted all my life for injury prevention and also to you know, be faster in the water, faster running and all that. So I didn't really lift a lot, and I think when you lift a lot, you know, especially like with football, you know, you get more injuries if you don't lift. So I wasn't lifting a lot, and I think the Labor Day weekend when I hurt myself, I worked Friday, 10 hours, and I was busy. We were busy Friday. Saturday, I was in and out of water making rescues, you know, going crazy. Worked another 10-hour day. Sunday, I made a big rescue Sunday. One of the biggest ones I've ever, you know, have made in a long time, like, a you know, the normal rescue, mm-hmm. you know, over 25 yards, maybe 50 yards. His kid got sucked out. His father went after him. So, you know, and I forget who the – I don't forget, but I can't think of his name. Halligan, real tall guy, lifeguard. He took the rope out, and he got out there. And but we had a hard time getting it. But my point is, then Sunday, I mean, that was Sunday. Then and that's when the kid drowned on the other beach. And then Monday, you know, we had it got bigger again. So that week it was about 4 to 5, you know, and maybe 3 to 5. And Monday night it started going to 4 to 6. You know, and that Tuesday they were bombs. I mean, there was some 7-footers, and. So that's that. You know, that's when they started giving tickets to everybody because so many people were getting in trouble. Anyway, so I was on the boardwalk this week. I mean, today, and we have some. I did my iPhone, and we're going to show you some pictures here of how crazy the ocean. Oh, again, it's about 45 degrees today. Air. I don't know what the water is. It's got to be, you know, below 50 now.
Yeah, everybody,
it's getting
ice cold. I'm going to show you one video I took yesterday.
Yeah, go ahead.
Just to kind of get perspective of how big they were. Although, for whatever reason, you can't tell how big these waves are in this video.
You can never tell. Even for, like, videos in a boat, you
this
can't
right
tell.
Here, I thought was the biggest wave I've ever seen in Seaside. This one coming behind it
was even bigger.
That was a 20-foot wave.
Yeah, and you can't appreciate.
And
it
you,
from
yeah,
here.
And no, and no. It looks tiny in this
looks
video.
Like nothing.
I was so disappointed when I watched it back. Man, that was like one of the most awe inspiring things I've seen.
So
on the Jersey Shore.
Go right to the top one. Yeah, let's see it. Hey, you know, it's funny. It's a cell phone. So here's these guys. Let's get you out of the way there. Get your.
What am I messing the shot
yeah,
up?
Yeah, just get rid of you. You could just hit the X and X out.
So this is from yesterday.
Yeah.
So you got what we just looked at. We're looking at this.
Yeah.
If you're going to tell me that's not 15, 20 feet.
It's hard to say, but yeah, it's big. It's definitely big. For Jersey coast, it's big, and the water's cold. Like, look at the color of the water.
I feel like I was looking at it yesterday, and I was thinking to myself, can it even get much bigger than it was yesterday?
No, not really. Not around here, because you don't have the waves can only be, well, they could be.
They'd be breaking 500 right. yards off.
Right, right. We don't get that kind of swell here. You know?
Speaking of waves breaking far offshore, you ever heard of the Cortez Bank?
No. Yes.
It's this. Yeah. It's literally I don't know if it's 100 miles, but it's like
right.
You have to sail for hours to get there, and it's this just like slightly submerged island mm-hmm. that there's a break at when the conditions are perfect. And you're just literally surfing in the middle of the ocean with no land in sight.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. I know there's places in Hawaii where when the waves get really big, there's a hump like maybe a mile out. And that's where they start breaking.
And they'll like paddle out to that.
Yeah. I've seen waves 10 to 15 foot, you know, in New Jersey after a hurricane sat out off of Bermuda for like days and days and days. The water here is if you go out about a half a mile, the water's about 20 feet still, you know, maybe 20, 30 feet. So the wave, could theoretically get that big, but it, you know, what I don't think we've ever gotten.
What's the rule there?
It's got to be like 75% of the depth. The wave can't
exceed 75% of the depth.
Yeah, so you have to have enough water underneath, unless when it breaks on the bar. But for a wave to formulate, it has to be more water underneath it than its height. Mm. That's what I remember from my stuff from college, but. I don't think I've seen it.
Here comes a large group of waves.
Oh, an earthquake. That's
triggered a series of events that resulted in a mega tsunami. On July 9th, 1958, a magnitude 7.8 earthquake caused a rock slide of around 40 million cubic yards in the Gilbert Inlet. The epicenter of the earthquake was on the Fairweather Fault in the heart of the 7 miles long and 2 miles wide LaToya Bay. According to scientists, the rocks, glaciers, and other debris fell from an altitude of approximately 3,000 feet, and the consequences were brutal. The event resulted in the highest wave from a massive tsunami in recorded history. The mega tsunami measured between 100 feet and 300 feet, but the subsequent breaking wave became much bigger. What does that mean? When it, like, blew
yeah,
up?
Yeah, it just grows up, yeah.
Yesterday when I was looking at those waves, I was understanding why we call them bombs when they get really big, because they just explode off the sandbar.
When it's low tide, it's brutal. Even when it's not low tide, it happens. And there's a lot of power there. That's why they break up ships and kill. You get killed. I mean, it's easy. Those waves are so powerful. So this must have been a really interesting thing.
Imagine even seeing.
Oh, so this is all glacier and everything. That's
a 300 foot wave come at you.
Yeah.
That's.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Well, a perfect storm, they had buoys out there that registered 100 feet, 100-foot waves.
Is that what the movie's based off of?
Yeah, yeah. But they got buoys out there.
What was the deal with that?
It was about the short fish fishery. But they talked about the history of codfish and also the Coast Guard rescue people. There's two different kind of rescue. There's the Coast Guard goes out 200 miles, and then there's another group of people who go 200 miles and out, and they're basically they're made to save pilots, so they get involved, and they go out in this big ocean. So it was a combination of ocean, big waves. I think the Queen Mary got hit. There's a lot of history out there. And stories about these giant waves. Now they mapped it all now with satellites and everything, so they know where these waves are. They could see them.
Buoys everywhere,
right? What it is? It's usually the you have ocean, you have wave motion, the current against the wind. That's where it gets really big. That's why off of Florida, when you have the Gulf Stream going north and you get a northeast blow, it really gets nasty out there. Real nasty. But I've seen one of those buoys. I was sailing from Grenada up to St. Thomas, and it was like a calm night. And I don't know where I was exactly in that route, but I saw this. I was on watch, and I saw this light, and then I didn't see it again. And what it was, we finally when we got to it, we passed it. We were probably like a mile away from it. But what it was is one of those tsunami buoys. And we did find it on the map eventually, but the light wasn't going off as quick as it should be. I don't know if it was every 10 minutes or whatever. It was crazy. You could hit one of them at night, man. That could destroy your boat, you know.
A buoy?
Oh, they're huge. These things are huge. They're not small. It is very hard to show. It's very hard to show a wave in when you're out in a boat and put it on camera. Never looks the same. So anyway, so that's pretty good. So
let's see.
What else did you want to show these people?
Screen share here. These are waves in the North Sea.
You really can't.
He's like, oh man, that's not a good video. Sorry, everybody. I'll keep looking.
Your attention. These beaches are officially closing for today.
Yeah, you're destroying our show. Anyway, it's good. I just wanted to make the point about our beach here and our waves. It's been really crazy. Usually, the best surfing in New Jersey is in the winter anyway. But it's hard to surf. I'm not a surfer. I don't surf anymore. But I know that. These guys were so fired up today because I seen everybody running down on the beach. These guys were coming, I guess, after work and running, trying to get into water. But it's cold too. You think the, I bet the water's maybe 49, you know. The air was 47, 48, so it has to be pretty damn cold.
You know what's you know what else I kept thinking about when I was sitting on the beach yesterday was this is the time of year when the when, you know, the old school Coast Guard and Life Saving Service were like fully active. And I and yeah. I'm looking at these waves and just picturing these guys trying to row those surf boats out there and training in that. They used to train and stuff like that.
Well, you know, they a lot of what they did is they would bring it that cannon and they would shoot a line out to the rigging and hook it up. Somebody on a ship would hook it up and they would have that little breacher buoy. And,
the bridges buoy.
Yeah, and they would bring people back and forth on that. And
they also had like a...
That was a big... That was the only way...
They had like a tin can thing that people would climb into.
Yeah, because you really couldn't... and even those guys, you know, they can only do so much. You could row, but it's tough to get out in a boat like, you know, stuff like that.
Oh, my God, yeah.
You know, unless you get a good run. And you know, you can't go on a you can't go on a sandbar. But, yeah. But before, you know, a lot of people just died. You know, they'd have a shipwreck and people would be screaming out there and nobody could do anything. Just think, you know what gets me? Not only the waves are big, they're freezing cold. I mean, the air is cold, the water is cold.
That's what, like, that's...
They didn't have any wetsuits back in those days, but they, you know, they wore good stuff, but still.
The shock of that cold is like the first domino.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They were, like, they were tough guys.
If you're a victim and you're not expecting that cold on top of getting hammered on, like, onto the sandbar or whatever, you're that's what's going to be send you, like, begin to send you into a panic is that first shock of cold, that the wind gets sucked right out of you. Right.
Well, cold water does, when you throw it on your face, it makes your heart rate slow down, believe it or not. It slows your heart rate down. And when your heart rate slows down, you got to breathe hard. You have to breathe harder, more to get the oxygenation. It's a whole crazy thing that happens.
What do you think about ice baths and cold exposure for muscle recovery and stuff like that?
Yeah, I don't know. When we had injuries, we put ice on it, and then we used to do whirlpools. When I swam in college, we had whirlpools all the time. After we're done workout,
cold whirlpool?
No, hot. No, not hot. Hot. You know, like a jacuzzi. Kind of stuff, but it was a regular tank, you know, it was tanks, you filled it up, and massage, you know, you had, I know the Russians, you know, they sit in a hot room, and then they jump into the water, you know.
Banya.
Yeah.
They call that banya.
Yeah, I don't know.
I heard those are cool.
Yeah, well, I don't know how good it is, but anyway, anything else? Because, you know, I know you got to get out of here, right?
What's your time? Yeah, I still got time.
I
got training at 7:30, so I got another 20-25 minutes.
Oh, good. So what else do we want to talk about? I was thinking about our guest last week from Australia and, you know, what kind of ocean they get down there. I know they get big waves, and you look at the Bondi Beach, and, you know, they got some crazy surf there. And I know one of my buddies who works out in California, he's in San Diego, and I went out there to see him. And they got some big surf there, too. And it's cold. The water's cold, too. You know, and so there are places. We're lucky. We got spoiled. Our ocean has been, you know, usually calm. You get to June swell. So we open up in May and going into June, and the water's still cold. It's in the 50s. And you get a swell. And the swell could be, you know, 3 to 5. And that lasts usually until July. And then usually July and August is nothing. It's flat. You know, you get a west wind in the morning. It's hot. And then the wind goes either southeast or southwest. And then it's hot. Calm, flat. And that's usually how it is the whole summer. And then when the hurricanes start, and the hurricanes used to start more, you know, the end of August going into September. This summer and in the past summers, it's totally different. And it could be global change or whatever, but this summer it got right out of the box. You know, Memorial Weekend, it was huge surf, and the water was relatively warm, and it just never stopped. We didn't have that, and I don't know how many hurricanes were out there. There was just a lot of storms out there, or a lot of bad water. So I don't know where it all came from. I really didn't follow it, but. You know, and this is crazy, you know, this time of year. And but last week and the week before that, it was big ocean. So it's not stopping. So I wonder how next summer is going to be, you know. Because you think, if you think about it, like right now, our winters here are getting warmer and warmer. So we, and I don't get into the politics of it, but think about it. So it's 40, you know, 40 and 50s. If it was pretty warm, this is December. October and November were really nice. You had a lot of days in the 60s. All right, so, you know, now in the spring, let's just say, you know, you got January, February. Say March, it starts going into 50s and 60s again. You know, March, April, you know, May, you start the summers earlier and earlier. You know, then we have big ocean.
Every year I hear, oh, they're saying this winter's going to be really bad. You know, we're in for a bad winter. I haven't. And I don't know, maybe this is me being nostalgic, but when I was young, I remember getting multiple.
Oh, it was a lot more snow.
12-inch snowstorms every winter.
No, it was a lot more. And then also in the summer, too.
And this is only 15 years ago.
The summers used to be, too, where in June, March, April, May and June, you'd have tons of northeast storms, tons of them, a lot of them. And then during the summer, you would have, like every 2 weeks, you'd have a northeast storm, a good one. Shake up everything, get the runs going. It'd be flat, and if the hurricane, you know, if the northeast went by, and it calmed down real quick, but you'd have them. And then, you know, the wind was west, and they'll go southeast. But so what I've been seeing a lot, too, is a lot of northwest wind without a southeast. In other words, you usually see a northwest wind after a storm. So it's definitely changing. I mean, I'm looking at the daily report here. So the rest of the week, it's going to, you know, 40, 46. Monday to Christmas, 50, 53. And, well, we've had warm weather, but in the 50s and 40s. And that's how our, you know, maybe the whole summer is going to be. That's December. So we'll see how January, February is.
But I'll tell you what, it's cold out there tonight, though.
Yeah.
It'll be freezing soccer.
It drops down at night. It drops down at night for sure. But
why is our cameras all, like, fuzzy focus like this? Did you change something?
Nah, it might be something. It's when you're moving a lot.
You think it's the program?
No, mine is okay. This is just, you know.
Like, I feel like it's not actually.
No, it's everything. The background's supposed to be fuzzy. You're supposed to be clear.
I know, but I think I get the feeling it's Ecamm doing, like our program, not the camera.
No, that's the camera.
You sure?
I have set that way, yeah.
That looks like.
Yeah, because it's behind you. So you could set the cameras.
It's done by artificial intelligence.
No, you could set the cameras where everything is the same in front of you and back of you, or you can make it where you stand out and everything's blurry in the back. I have it that way where it's blurry in the back.
I mentioned artificial intelligence. I played a little poker last week, and one of the younger guys was playing with us, and he's in college, and he was saying that their professors are encouraging them to use it to write their papers. And I personally think that that's a good thing.
Yeah, because it's like calculators back in the day.
Exactly. I actually, I started subbing in the Jackson School District today. Yeah. It was my first day. I worked in the elementary school with, like, the little kids.
Right.
And one of the teachers, I got into a conversation with one of the teachers about it. And she was expressing, like, yeah, I just don't know how to feel about it. Because on one hand, like, it's always going to be here. On the other hand, like, don't you think kids should know how to write and to do real research? But, and then I used that example you just brought up, the calculator. It's like, when I was young, it was always, you can't use a calculator. You need to show all your work. I've never not had access to a calculator. Yeah, these kids are never not going to have access to this type of technology. Right. I think personally, the quicker they can become geniuses at using that, I mean, that's just going to help everybody, right? Because now, in the same way that just having a cell phone has increased in one way or another, like, the human capacity to hold memories, you know, in a way, I'm taking stuff out of my brain and I'm putting it on this phone so I can store it and have it that I can reference whenever I want. in the same way that that's kind of augmented our ability to hold more information, I think that these AIs are going to augment our ability to just get work done in general.
Yeah.
I think we're going to work a lot more quickly and efficiently because we're not worried about researching and citing and getting grammar and stuff like that correct. That's already taken care of. That's something that we figured out how to do automatically. So now we can focus on even on thinking even more creatively about problems.
Yeah, maybe. I look at it because I was around before, you know, before the calculator really came about, and I've been around before you had cell phones and before, it was all landlines and the computers. I remember back in the day, they were very rudimentary and they couldn't do anything. There was no, you had to do, all your own coding. I would say this. I think that two things, technology is always getting better and better and better. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not. It definitely is getting where you could access information a lot quicker. I mean, we're sitting at a bar or a restaurant. You want to, who signed the Declaration of Independence? You could Google it and Does that really help you in the long run? I don't know. The biggest thing that helps creativity, in my opinion, is freedom, liberty. Be able to do things, be able to, you want to invent things. Critical thinking is important. I was watching an interview with Jeff Bezos.
Bezos.
And he grew up on a farm, and his grandfather taught him how to troubleshoot everything. They made their own, like if they needed a needle to sew up a cow, they would make it out of a piece of metal and put a hole in it. I mean, I think technology is good. Can it as much as it could hurt you, it could help you. So I'm not really concerned about that.
I just think when we're dealing with kids learning how to use this stuff, it needs to be stressed that this is a tool, and if you can use this tool to your advantage, the amount and the quality of work you can get done, whatever that work is, the ceiling is now higher. But go ahead.
No, I watch Ava, so she's 10 years old, and she'll watch TV. She's on the internet. I mean, we had the TV. We don't have channels, but we have all of it. And she'll go on to YouTube, and she'll watch these things where there'll be inventions, that Sniper Fox is it.
Sniper Wolf.
Wolf, right? Sniper. And there's different kind of inventions, or they'll show you how to do things, how to make different kind of tricks. I was watching the other day carpentry things, how to cut a piece of wood to fit in a corner, all kinds of things.
Ever see that, the Japanese joinery where they don't use nails or screws?
Right. I think you make a good point. I think what all this technology has been doing is good and bad. But what it is you come up to speed so much quicker. That could be a good thing. It could be I think it's all good. The kids have to learn critical thinking. Everybody's saying, the kids today, don't know anything. I think it's not because the technology is there. The problem is they're not utilizing it. If you sit there and just go on the games and watch, do these fantasy games, and you go out there and kill everybody and do that kind of stuff. That's not going to help you. But if you research things and use it and look at history. Because you could go on there and there's so much history and there's audio books. So I think everything needs to be in moderation, So I'm not really worried, but kids still need to have critical thinking. That's why you still need to be able to think about mathematics, chemistry, calculus, even though you're not going to use it. You need to train the brain to think about things, to do critical thinking.
And also what if we get to a point where we do take the fact that the mathematics is now, we don't have to think about that because the computer does it. The physics, we don't have to think about. Part of my fear is we reach a point where we get out of touch with all of that and we don't know the basis of how it works. No, and then we start relying on it to know for us. I actually,
we're not that advanced. You think of it,
will be though.
Yeah, well, but yeah. And then,
look at any technology man has built. And if you were to, from the beginning of that technology, like let's say, you know, a technology that started, whatever, 100 years ago, if without knowing the outcome of it, if you were to look at that technology and extrapolate it into the future, we've done that with every single thing. You know, like if you look at the first telephone, or even going back to the telegraph, right?
Yeah.
If you drew a line from that into 100 years in the future, you'd probably come up with something similar to this.
Yeah, yeah.
So we still keep hitting those marks,
but
right?
But the thing is, if you you still have to train, you still have to learn the basics. You still have to go back. And I was just I was just watching.
I completely agree with you. My fear is that one day, we lose touch with those basics.
I was watching how Bluetooth works. I was watching how Bluetooth sends signals out to your ears, you know, for an iPad, you know, pods. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting technology. When you're going to school, you still got to go back and learn the basics, because you can't go ahead. And you get there a lot faster. You know, I think that I think about what I learned and what they're out there is now. I don't know how much advantage the internet is making. You still have to have the mind. You still have to study. I think the kids, I think what it is that, I'll give you a good example. When I was in school, people now could isolate DNA, you know, your DNA. That's done in high school. You know, but when I was a kid in high school, it wasn't even done. When I was in college, it was done only in the most sophisticated places. So in that regard, you know, we really stepped quickly. But you still have to learn the basics. So anyway, I think the AI is we use it. It's here now. It's in our computers, and I don't think it's a bad thing. It's going to be another supplement. But just remember, all of this internet stuff, you could pull the plug on it tomorrow. I mean, I'm very sure there's computer banks buried below the ground. But there's still people that are running it, and I think we got a long way before we become where a machine is. What I want to say, salient, where they have their own soul and their own.
You know, I got something to say about that in a second, because I saw something that freaked me out over the weekend. But real quick, you were saying about.
I'll give you one thing before you go. Just hold that thought. But, you know, all of this we're talking about, right? Where we're at, you know, and how far it could go. I mean, if you watch the old Star Trek initial series, you know, they would find these civilizations that evolved into a situation where they were just pure energy, or, you know, just sit and they, who knows what's out there? You know, maybe one day some, you know, aliens going to come here and take us from, you know, 10 miles an hour to, you know, a trillion miles an hour. So the world is who knows what's out there. I think that, you know, we're evolving, and we need to have this technology to evolve to the next level. Whether or not we won't kill ourselves and destroy ourselves before that is a whole different thing. But, you know, when you say what horrifies you, what are we going to say? Is like the aliens? First of all.
Just spent 30 seconds talking with the camera on me, and then the second you pass it off to me.
You put the camera back on yourself.
One, I was going to say, I was listening to some ex-CIA guy, or as he says, on a podcast yesterday.
Oh, he got the beard and everything?
He said that the NSA in their servers has enough space to record every single American's calls, texts, photos, videos, emails for the next 500 years.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
So that's one thing. But so you're familiar with The Matrix, right?
Yeah.
They made a new open world style video game, like kind of like Grand Theft Auto. Have you ever seen those games?
Yeah.
So they made this new open world style video game. It takes place in New York City. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I was hanging out with Jack. He had come over to watch the Manchester United game. Mm-hmm. Like, we always hang out and watch the game together. And we were just, we got talking about AI and video games and stuff like that. And I ended up searching through YouTube, and we come across this Matrix game. So I start watching this video, and this guy's like test playing it. And he's saying, like, the title of the video is, you know, new amazing feature in Matrix video game. So he's walking around, and this city is populated with, you know, fake people. They're called NPCs in gaming, non-player characters, right? And he just goes up to one, and there a little icon pops up, and it says press A to talk, right? Just random dude from the street. He goes up to this, and then he doesn't start typing to it.
Yeah.
He speaks into his microphone. He says, hey, how are you doing today? I like your shirt. This character in the game, this random guy off this fake New York City street, then responds to him and says, wow, thank you so much. It's great to meet you. Then they go on to have a full conversation.
Yeah.
Then he goes to the next guy on the street, does the same thing, goes up to a girl, says, I hate your outfit today. She goes, why are you being so mean? Why are you talking like that? They all have different accents. This is any NPC that gets generated in this entire city, you can go have a unique conversation with, because each one is hooked up to an AI chatbot.
Mm-hmm.
So you talk to it, and it automatically listens to what you're saying and formulates a response based on who it is in that city.
Yeah.
They all have different accents. They all have different personalities. They all have different jobs. Yeah. They're all going somewhere else today. And it just got me thinking. It like really, really tripped me up, because we don't know how conscious these things are, because we can't even define for ourselves what consciousness is. There is no definition, right?
Yeah.
So for all we know, ChatGPT could be having its own thoughts.
Yeah.
Well, we don't know.
Right.
So what we're doing now is we're taking it a step further, and we're saying, hey, ChatGPT, let's give you a body and put you in physical space and have you interact with people that way. They're literally creating the Matrix inside the Matrix video game.
They even got it further now. They want to take your body, your brain, and put it in a machine. Here's the thing. All of this is nice. All of this is nice to talk about. But in the meantime, people are still dying from cancer, heart attacks. You know, we're still killing the shit out of each other. You got wars going on. People are starving to death. You know, I mean, kids are dying at 9 years old from, you know, cancers. So people are still raping, murdering. You know, China's still burning coal. It goes on and on and on. And so it's nice to hear all that. But we haven't really. Technology is good. We have not, as a species, evolved. We're still. You go back 4,000 years, and if you take a person from 4,000 years and put him here, other than the technology, there's still greed, there's still murder, there's still pride, you know, all of that stuff. And so that's why I don't know when the technology is going to get to the point where we make a leap. There are people who want to have talk about where, you know, you take your brain or your soul and put it in a machine. You got these guys who want to go to Mars and, you know, go out into planets like, you know, your guy Bezos and Musk, they think that we have to get out of here. So I'm not worried about it. I tell you what, I think it's a tool. I think it's really good. I think it's, look what we're doing here. Anybody and their brother could do what we're doing now. And there's so much out there. Question is, it gets too much out there. And who's ever going to even see?
Even 10, maybe even 5 years ago, what we're doing on this scale?
No.
Very difficult.
No. But I the problem is, though, is this, the world. Remember what I said, and I don't want to leave it on a bad note.
Yeah, we got to wrap this up.
Einstein said this. He said, "I don't know how World War III is going to be fought, but World War IV is going to be fought with sticks and stones."
Did I ever tell you my Einstein story? I think I might have.
Einstein.
My great grandfather, and my grandfather would help him out, delivered his milk when he was living in Princeton on a horse and buggy. So I thought,
really?
I think that's pretty cool.
Wow, that is pretty cool.
I bet I've said that before on this show, but yeah, I like to claim that my family had just the smallest part in Einstein's greatest theories.
Well,
the protein from the milk that was fueling his brain, made the atomic bomb.
Well, you know, he was.
Is that what he did?
He was a physicist. He came out with the formulas for relativity, but he was very smart in that way. E equals mc squared. He's, you know, other things. So anyway, listen. Thank you everyone for watching us and spending some time with us. Appreciate if you go to YouTube and subscribe and give us a like. We're on all the other platforms. We didn't put up the bottom where we're at. Either forgot to put that in there. But we're on Spotify. We're on Apple Podcast, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Rumble. So check us out. All right. Tyler, you want to send us off? Take care, everyone. Have a nice weekend. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.